You know, even a general knowledge of the Bible provides us with facts about the end of the age, so we can calculate the risks and the rewards, study the progression of the critical must events to come, of course determine the position to take, and then defend that position to the moon and back. I'm not so sure that's God's full intent. I believe it could lead to risky behavior. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Nordstrom, and welcome to the program today. Why are things getting so bad? The church seems powerless to do anything. Organized protest, Western politics are surely not effective tools to turn the tide. The Apostle Paul says it this way: those who exchange the truth of God for a lie, he gives them up to their vile passions, the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Strong language, huh? Well, after presenting a long list of sinful activities in Romans chapter 1, Paul makes it clear such hardness of heart is deserving of the wrath of God in the day of wrath. This life and lifestyle is directly connected to the age-ending events that are, even now, playing out on the earth. For example, why will people curse God and die rather than repent and move into a glorious age to come? God gives them up. A last chance, so to speak. God gives them up to what they desire. While an opportunity to repent remains if they come back to their senses, in reality, people get what they want in both the positive and the negative. In the sovereignty of God, we're permitted the freedom to choose in hopes that we will see the foolishness of the world and come to an agreement with the perfect righteousness of Jesus' leadership. We embrace the lie, and God removes all restraints to continue in that deception. David presented it this way: why did the nations rage? Why did the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth, they set themselves, and the rulers, they take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us." You see, the lie is related to the rejection of God's leadership by the kings of the earth. The presidents, the prime ministers, dictators, all those demagogues out there. You see, it's a question of to whose leadership you'll submit, the leadership of the world or the flawless leadership of Jesus. Do we embrace the truth or do we embrace the lie? Well, let's examine the internal state of those who will walk away and reject the truth. Paul talks about it in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some, not all, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. The internal state is apostasy, abandonment of the faith, a faith and truth they once held. I believe this is the clearest statement from Paul regarding the coming end-time apostasy. Some would argue differently, but I believe Paul's making it clear that believers have the potential of losing their salvation if they give heed, if they fully believe the deceiving spirits and the doctrines of demons of the day and embrace the teachings of demonic forces of darkness. This is not about succumbing to a false doctrine or a deception at an unguarded moment in life. That can happen to any of us. That can be momentary and perhaps rob us of our peace of mind at the moment and cause us to question even our destiny with God. But God's not threatened by our wrong ideas about him, but in the very nature of an unsurrendered soul and unrenewed mind in the context of truth can lead to open, painful results. A few weeks back, I showed how important it is to bind our souls to the mind of Christ, that our minds would mirror his. When Jesus told his disciples that whatever they bind on earth will be bound in heaven, he was making it clear how important it is for our souls to be bound to the cross. As Paul says, we must present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. The days of cruising along in our spiritual comfort zones is fast coming to an end. The key is no longer how right I can be in my doctrine and defend it to the death, but how intimate and committed I am to the heart of the Holy Spirit, walking in repentance, humility, outside all those categories of religion and cultural influence. Becoming that living sacrifice of obedience enables us to discern the spirit of the age. As radical shifts in political, social, and economic religious categories bang up against us with increasing speed and resolve, Paul shows us what these approaching days will reveal in most of humanity in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men, listen to this carefully, folks, there's a lot of them, lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Folks, these are not empty words. Paul speaking of spiritual adultery, and that eventually leads to spiritual divorce. That's pretty dramatic. Let me show you how easily that can start. Listen to this carefully. You sow a thought, and you're going to reap an act. You sow an act, and you'll reap a habit. You sow that habit, and you'll reap your character. Sow your character, and you'll reap your destiny. Beloved, keep your hearts in these perilous days. You know, the other day, I was sitting around moaning and groaning about several circumstances I was having to deal with. Suddenly, I was alerted that my hot water tank had just begun leaking and needed immediate attention. Yep, just last Saturday afternoon, Memorial Day weekend. Ever looked for a plumber on a holiday weekend, huh? And just when I thought it couldn't get any worse, the Holy Spirit takes me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Listen, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's sufferings. Listen, folks, not for a moment did I ever think Jesus had to deal with a hot water heater. But I did get the point. So let's you and I pray. Father, we're living in perilous times. So many events happening so fast. It's so easy for our hearts to be troubled. Lord, what I do ask is that you keep our hearts and minds from deception, that you provide us with clear understanding of the circumstances we face now and what we will face in the future. Give us wisdom, a mindset, and a confidence that you will instruct us, and you will teach us in the way we should go, and you will guide us with your eye upon us. Father, we receive the words of Jesus. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Father, we ask these things in the name of the one who provides such peace. Amen and amen. Maranatha, beloved, I'm Bill Nordstrom.